Episode number 8 was Stephen Daniel. Welcome to In It to Win It. This is Stevie B.
And Dan G.
Dan G. How you been? You haven't driven off with any gas pumps lately, have you?
No, my ninja, I haven't. But you know, it's kind of funny because I did go back to that gas station. Now they have a fine there that's $1,000. So
it's called the Garcia fine.
Yeah, I think they put it there just for me.
Yeah.
But apparently, and this is kind of a... from the other shows, everybody knows I drove off with a gas pump attached to my car.
Yeah. You've also done it with the other items too. You like to treat your car like a shelf, right?
Apparently, I have a problem because I called a girlfriend of mine and just friend. You know, I was like, hey, you know, I told her about obviously the incident, and she wasn't surprised about it at all.
No, not at all.
No, she's like, yeah, don't you remember that time we ordered that 40-inch pizza and then you put it on the top of your car and you drove to, you know, back to the party and everybody's like, where's the pizza? And I'm like, oh shit, it's on the freeway.
It's now a part of the 405.
Yeah, not a part of the 405 freeway. So that actually gets worse because as I was speaking with her, I started looking over and I'm looking at my, you know, one of those Yeti water, you know, that I use for the gym, you know, like an overpriced, you know, water cooler, obviously, you know.
Yeah. It's $45 for some type of utensil.
Yeah, $50 a tax, Steve. Yeah. $50 a tax. Comes out to like $49.89.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have like a small one and a big one, of course. So I've basically spent $100 on like water bottles for like, I could have got one for like literally $3.99 at Big Five, right?
Yeah. Would still do the same thing.
Yeah, you know, they're just like aluminum and I don't know, they just have a nice design to them, so you know, that's worth spending the extra money, I guess. But anyways, I'm looking over at them and they're like dented, and then I'm reminding myself, I'm like, oh my god, I drove off with those in my car. So apparently I have a serious problem. I'm probably not the only one out there, but if anybody knows of any support groups or anything, just let me know.
For treating your car as a coffee table or an end table.
Pretty much, man. I evidently had this problem for a while and didn't know. I drive off with anything, like mugs, pizza, gas pumps. Yeah, I'm all about it. Yeah, I'm really good at the coffee, though. I mean, actually, now that I think about it in hindsight, there's so many times I've driven off with like a cup of coffee. You know what I mean?
Yes, I have done that at work. I actually left a coffee on the fire truck and we got a call. And then a lady came to the fire station and gave me the cup back. It fell off on like Fifth Street, you know, just ding, ding, ding.
Was it like porcelain or was it just?
No,
like
it was a plastic one that the city had given to me when I had like 5 years on or something like that. I had that thing forever.
They give you a coffee mug after 5 years? How about
it was
a bonus?
Something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, it was all of $7 or whatever it was.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
10 years. A thermos.
At 15 years, I got a little pen or a pin, you know, like, you know, you'd see a president with like an American flag pin to his suit. Well, they gave us a little 15-year pin. I had my 20-year came and gone and I didn't get anything.
Oh, God, so. Just give away your age to everybody. Jeez.
Yeah.
And your date of birth is what,
date
Steve?
Date of birth as well. Social. Jeez. Go ahead. Don't forget. Don't leave out the social.
Yeah. Shout it out there. I'm a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
I'm looking down, not up. Wow, that's pretty terrible. Sorry to say, man, but that's like, wow. that's the show of appreciation, I guess, for city work.
Yeah, for a government job there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you get for security of pins and thermos mugs and stuff. Great.
Oh, we got a couple of shout outs.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I really appreciate anything. Jeez, even if you hate us.
More than a pin.
yeah. Your shout out's worth more than a pin to me, everybody.
Yes, more than a plastic coffee cup.
Yeah.
It says from Dave Curtis, says, Steve, great shows lately. He's picking up the Relentless book by Tim
awesome,
Grover.
Man. Yeah.
So that was cool. So that
yeah,
was,
that's a great book. And yeah, no, awesome. Get a lot out of that book, you know. Actually, the biggest thing I got out of that book was one of the quotes in there was kind of cool. It's like, you know, because it really talks about stress and pressure, you know. And I think one of the cool thing was at least for me, it was, you know, if you don't really feel pressure kind of during your day, they were basically saying, you know, then nobody really believes in you. So if you're not putting pressure on yourself or other people aren't putting pressure on you and doing whatever it is that you do, you should have pressure because that actually means that someone actually believes in you. So yeah. it makes a lot of sense. So there's a lot of really good things out of that book. A lot of it's related to sports, but you know, it comes back to real life stuff, obviously. So,
yeah. Yeah. I one thing I liked about it is like when he would come out with a list, mm-hmm. instead of listing, 13 items, 1 through 13, he would list them all number one. And he said, subconsciously, if you know, you list number one, two, three, four, you subconsciously put the first one up at the top. And by the time you get down to three, it's kind of, 50-50, whether you'll even get to it or not. He said, but if you label every single one number one, it in your mind makes it, they're all equal priority. And so I write down my goals continuously, you know, and so
this
I started
doing
it.
This could be like a daily list, Steve, like, you know, cause that's what I do. You know, I have like a little, you know, carry around. I just do old school, like notepad, you know, little
Me
mini
too.
Guy and write it down. So I'm glad you brought that up because I actually forgot about that. And that was really good because they're all equally as important and should
yeah.
be is the point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do that for my annual goals now too, is I just list them all number one. You know, I may only accomplish 2 or 3 out of 4 or 5, but
they're before, all number one.
Yes. Before I was putting them in order and it was almost like I couldn't move on to the next one until that one got completed.
Right.
And, you know, it's
something in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? It's yeah. true. Well, I think after I read that book, I stopped even putting numbers on there.
Oh, interesting.
Point. Yeah.
Okay.
I just looked at my pad and I realized I don't have any numbers anymore.
That's cool.
So it's kind of the same, but different, right?
Yeah. Same, but different. Yeah.
Maybe the letter, the number one is significant or something. Maybe I should put one. I don't know, but I'm doing it. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good book. We're going to talk about another book, later on in this show. It's called The New Great Depression.
That book literally,
good.
No, that book is really good, Steve. It was so good. It kind of scared the shit out of me a little bit.
It was, yeah. Oh, we got another shout out. Andrew Mokey. He says, awesome episode, Steve. He loved the one with Randall.
Great, Andrew.
He says, dude, I'd love to hear more about the fundamentals on evaluating trades. I'd love to take Randall's course, but it'd be a significant amount of my trading bankroll.
Well, it was for us as well.
Yeah, and we had to pay more than you guys will. We paid $5,000 2 years ago, so it's, you guys get it for $4,000 today. Any tips on basics evaluating? You know, it's honestly a lot of it I wouldn't even know how to teach because he sets you up with the whole program. You know what I mean? Like he inputs all the values and everything and then basically hands you the software and he's like, okay, now do what we taught you over the last 2 days. And it becomes very, very easy.
Yeah. And I have to make a quick point, you know, to Andrew, shout out. I actually looked for the information before we even took the course and Googles and, you know, like, does anybody else? Cause I really didn't want to pay that much money for it, to be perfectly honest, but yeah. I don't know where you could find that information. I wasn't able to locate anything like it.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know if it's proprietary, but it's good and it works and it's something you'll have with you for life. I couldn't see myself trading or evaluating stocks without it.
I can't either. I can't believe
I don't even I think before taking that course, I was pretty much an idiot.
yeah. And I would never, ever, ever buy a stock without looking at the graph on what he taught us. Like I would just never do that again, ever.
Yeah.
You know, I remember buying them before without even like looking at any kind of graph and wow, it was such a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't the you know, wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed before that.
No, not at all. So yeah. That was cool. Thank you guys for the shout out. Shane Waters, you as yeah. well.
And, yeah, absolutely.
We'd appreciate it if you guys could help us out. If you guys like the show, rate and review it 5 stars on iTunes. That'll bump us up the search list and make it more likely to attract more people. Since changing the name of the show, you know, we're getting a new and exciting audience. It's cool to see it grow a little bit each week, and you know, we'd love to see the ratings grow right along with that. So that would help us out a lot if you could rate and review, and we'll read it on the air.
Yeah, that really does help out as well. Like, anything you guys could do out there, even if you don't like us, you know, hey, we'll take anything. Dateless and desperate for reviews.
Oh, another thing I learned too when changing the show is like a couple of the artworks haven't, you know, this goes out to iTunes and Stitcher and 15 other avenues where you guys are listening to this. And if your avenue that you've listened to it, maybe the artwork hasn't updated or the show description or something. I think we've gotten them all, but I found a few that, and my editor found a few that we hadn't. So we've had to manually go in and update those instead of, you know, automatically populating it. So if something like that comes up, hit me up, stevebartonmoney@gmail.com or on Twitter or on Facebook, however.
Just any way you can help us, please help. Like starving children in Africa.
Exactly. Starving children in Africa that don't have the strength to bat the flies away.
Yeah, that's right. With a pot belly.
Yeah. Any ideas for guests? We'd love to hear them. I mean, that's how we've gotten probably half our guests on the shows. From
yeah.
The
so. Yeah, that was, yeah, we got a couple really great guests. So if you guys know somebody, anybody, you know, help, you know, that'd be always a great help. We're always entertaining that. That's just awesome, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of miss Rob. I'm not going to lie.
Rob was a really good one. We got to have
him. Yeah, Rob. Yeah. You know, we got to, you know, it was a great vacation rentals, you know, how he did things. But yeah, just this cool guy. I kind of want to go hang out with him, man. I'm not going to lie.
I kind of did too. Well, we're both going on vacation here shortly. You're going to be, probably the next episode you'll be in.
Okay. We can do this is a precursor to another show. So we're
a little teaser, a teaser.
Okay. Teaser, not a taser, a teaser.
teaser. Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to, well, I'll let you, Steve, go ahead.
Oh, well, you're going down to, the Book, right?
Bucaramanga. Oh, the Book. Yeah. And I mean, who doesn't know about the Book?
Yeah. I had to ask, and I've been to this country and I didn't know where it was. It's all Buka what?
Yeah. Buka who? Buka your mama?
You're going down to Colombia.
Yeah, I'm going down to Colombia. Yep.
Yep.
I've been there a few times. Yeah, been a lot of places, but I'm going to be going to Bucaramanga. So we're going to be doing a travel, you know, anybody's just, I know it's kind of cool. Just anybody who's, you know, just interested in just the inner workings, how much things are and costs and places to see and do. And I think a lot of people are actually scared of Colombia, but, you know, a lot of things have changed over the last, you know, 10, 20 years, you know. Yeah. Pablo Escobar is not going to kill you. So
No, he's dead.
Yeah. So him and his Colombian snow.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty rampant down there, but I gotta be honest, Colombia is a very safe, I mean, I feel very safe there. I mean, just as long as you don't go, you know, a few hours out of town and, you know, it's 1 o'clock at night and you're drunk, you know, just don't do stuff like that. Right.
Simple common sense stuff.
Yeah, but that's kind of anywhere. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you and I really wanted to get our asses kicked down in Los Angeles, we could find a place to do it in about 45 minutes.
Yeah. It's the same, drive down. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same in Colombia. You know, there's good areas and there's bad areas. I think they've just gotten kind of the short end of the stick with the Escobar shadow looming over them 20 years later. You know, it's kind of.
Yeah, and if you go, don't ask about Pablo Escobar. They kind of don't like that.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, where's Pablo's house that he grew up in? We'll just take the damn tour. Yeah. No, it's actually kind of a sore spot, you know, because, you know, I think it's just, you know, a lot of Colombians, you know, they don't like, you know, I would be the same way, you know, it's, I don't want to be associated, you know, with that, you know, the past, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I did take a Pablo Escobar little tour, I guess, from one of his guys that used to work with him. That's a taxi driver now.
His hitman. He has it. Pablo Escobar, his hitman, gives tours in Medellin.
Okay. I took one from a guy that was a taxi cab driver. Oh. He said that he used to run the drugs for him, and they'd load up like an Impala, and he would pay every border crossing all the way through Central America, drop it off in LA, and then come back with all the cash. And it was interesting. He said that, Pablo, he didn't really like to drink. He smoked a lot of weed, but any of his guys that used cocaine, he would off them. You know, he didn't want any Colombians using cocaine. He wanted all that to go to the U.S.
Well, yeah, sounds like the Chinese now.
Right?
They're the ones that sells all the fentanyl. Yeah. They just drive it through Mexico now.
Yeah, just a different avenue of
entry. Yeah, the CCP is trying to kill us off, everybody. So, yeah, no, but it's a safe place. I mean, I've been there many times, and it's really inexpensive, and it's a great, there's a lot of things to see, beautiful beaches, and there's just a lot of culture. I'm going to be going to Bucaramanga, which is, it's kind of a Venezuela. I'll be in the Andes Mountains area.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's a really cool thing there. We can talk about that in the other show as well, is they have like, it's the same as the Grand Canyon, you know, so they have in the Andes Mountains, there's some areas there, Chicamocha and stuff. So, you know, we can touch on some of that stuff, or if anybody wants to know any information, be happy to tell.
Nice. Yeah. I'll be going to Nicaragua and
Nicaragua, which is kind of strange because you don't surf, Steve.
No, I don't. No,
I San Juan del Sur, which is like kind of a surfing,
like one of the number one surfing spots.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's Central America. That's like one of my destinations because I surf, so I'm like, I know about that.
Yeah,
it's like San Juan's like a really great little surfer town and stuff. So maybe you should take up surfing.
I could try. Maybe I'll rent a longboard or something. I've done it before. I can stand up on a longboard, but I'm not one of those guys that can get a 6'3" board and just carve. No, that's not me.
I can.
I know you can.
I'm actually an undercover really good surfer. I don't know why I'm undercover.
I've seen the pictures. I've never seen you in action, but I've seen the pictures, and I'm like, wow, that's impressive. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
I can completely get tubed and bottom turn. I can ride any board, longboard, shortboard, anything. Yeah, I've been doing it since I was a kid, but then I just stopped because, well, long story real short, I moved to Australia.
Okay.
And warm water, and then Hawaii. I just lived in all these warm water places. Then by the time I made it back to America, I'm like, God damn, this water is cold.
Girl, this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah, basically, I'm like, yo, this is not fun anymore. I don't like dressing up in a blubber suit and like heading out there. It's very restrictive, you know? So, yeah, I just got spoiled over a period of time. So I just stopped my surfing. So.
That's what we call a first world problem.
Yeah. Hashtag. Yeah. Yep. First world problems. Yeah. It's too cold.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of first, how's Chacho the vampire dog doing? We threw out that picture of him on Facebook with the sombrero. He had a little too much.
He's been living on donuts and chocolate for 19 years. So he's still going strong.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I don't know how much time I got left with him. You know, maybe another year. I don't know how long this thing's going to live. It's like 19. It looks like it's 7. It's like Benjamin Button of dogs. It's weird. You're like, oh, I love your puppy. I'm like, dude, he's like on borrowed time.
You could do a taxidermy route.
Oh, you might be. Yeah, maybe when people come in and they can, you know, kind of pet the dummy dog. I mean, well, you kind of experienced with like taxidermy dogs, Steve. I mean, you.
Oh yeah, in my life,
you visit a lot of homes in your time.
Yeah, every day we get every 24-hour shift we probably get 10 calls, and these are to, you know, 7 out of 10 of them are to go to people's homes to solve some type of problem, whether it's a garage fire or their grandma fell down. And so you get to walk into a lot of different people's homes. You know, over the course of 2 decades of my career, I've probably seen
thousands, from low income to high income.
Yeah, I mean, multi-millionaires to six family members sharing a one bedroom apartment, right?
Yeah.
So you get to see all spectrums.
Yeah.
And I've seen several of those taxidermied dogs. You know, you walk in and then there's just a giant Great Dane or Doberman Pinscher just like by the fireplace, and there's the half second heart attack that you get, like, oh my god, that's a huge dog, to
yeah,
oh, it's stuffed.
So this is like a thing, like people really like, they really taxidermy their animals and they put them by the mantle.
It's a real thing. Yeah, it seems to be in a certain
is it like a demographic though? Like,
oh, there's a definite demographic pattern that I've put together over the decades. Yeah.
Wow, this is some inner working stuff. I mean, this is right there with the engravers of toilet seats. Okay, cool.
I think I would put rich white 60 years old.
60 plus.
Caucasian,
male,
yes.
Or female, or does it matter?
Damn, I'm trying to remember. It probably doesn't matter. I don't know.
I mean, married couples usually.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And kind of odd dogs too. You know, like
mix, like a
little Shih Tzus, and you know, like the Great Dane that I was talking about, the Doberman. You know, kind of like in a stance of like. He's almost two pointy ears up, you know, just like laying perfectly, like ready to strike or something, you know.
I remember him when he used to eat people. When he tore that little baby apart.
It's a real thing, yeah.
I just really had no idea about, you know, I knew people did it, but you obviously have real world experience with this.
Yeah, so we could do the same with Chacho. You know, we could put them out maybe out front under your little kind of on your porch there with maybe like a Mexican sombrero hat.
That's kind of that would work.
The Mexican sombrero dog.
Yeah. You know, I could have him for eternity.
Yeah. You know, you have those creepy glass eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm into it. Yeah. I don't know how other people would feel about it though.
Maybe we could somehow get two of them, you know, like 3D printing or some shit.
And then on either side of the door. It will, instead of the lions when you walk up, I could have two Chachos.
Dos Chachos, yes.
Dos Chachos with sombreros. Chachos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dos really Chachos and dos sombreros.
He's listening to us, by the way, Steve.
Is he? Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. His ears perked up. I can't talk about this too much longer. He's
going to
get weird.
Start running around and clicking his nails on.
Yeah, he thinks he's going to get taxidermied now. I don't know. Oh, poor guy. he's good. He's cool.
Right on. I went to, I had some guilt-free shopping the other day.
Oh, wow. That's always good. So you didn't go to Trader Joe's, obviously.
No, I did not.
Or Whole Foods. Yeah. Sorry, I call it Whole Paycheck now.
Whole Paycheck, yeah. Yeah. No, I realized, I was like, oh, I don't have my Birkenstocks with my knee-high socks.
Oh, man.
And so I can't go into Trader Joe's.
Oh, you need a hip pack there, dude.
I know. I needed at least a fanny pack or some type of like tie-dye shirt. I had none of these. I was just wearing regular clothes.
You can't walk into the places like that with a high carbon print, Steve. You already know that.
No, you cannot. Definitely not. Yeah. So I went to the local ethnic store and, they said, ¿Quieres una bolsa? You know, do you want a bag? And I was waiting for the glares and the stares to make me feel like I was,
because you didn't bring your bags.
I didn't bring my own bags. No. But they proceeded to like double bag things that didn't really need bagging at all. You know,
a head of lettuce with like two bags, high carbon print.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
this stuff would never happen at Whole Paycheck.
Oh yeah. Or the gallon jug of juice that already has a handle on it.
Oh yeah.
You know, that gets two plastic bags and possibly even a third one. Cause it's heavy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you still buy those, by the way? That's like, we call those are hood. That's hood drink, man.
Hood drink, sorry.
That's hood juice.
Hood juice, yes.
That's hood juice. Like the bright green, yellow, like, you know. Yeah. That's like food for the ghetto right there, man. I'm all about that.
And you call the drink by the color that it is. So when you offer it to someone, you offer it as
purple. Orange drink.
Yeah, you want orange? You want purple? You want purple?
Yeah. I'm laughing because it's true.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You offer the drink by
for
whatever
you,
color.
For all the people out there like in Australia or like England or something, they don't know about the hood juice. Maybe there's another, like I lived in Australia, so I didn't really see any hood juice out there. Okay. I don't know what would be the equivalent, you know? I'm kangaroo sure. milk? I don't know.
I don't know, but it definitely exists here in America.
Yeah, it's a hood thing.
It's a hood thing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you want some red drink?
Yeah.
I got some great purple. Ooh. Yes.
I remember going to my buddy Antoine's house for the first time. I must have been like 6 years old. And yeah. And then he got all excited when his mom was like, Antoine, you want some purple? And he's like, yeah, Ma. And I'm like, what's purple? And he's like, you don't know what purple is? I'm like,
oh, man, you crazy?
Like, I don't understand.
You don't know about that purple drink, Steve.
So he gets me some purple. And I'm like, oh. You mean grape juice? And he's like, yeah, purple.
It's look, purple. It's purple. Ain't grape.
I'm like, oh, okay.
And if you're lucky, you come next week, we got orange.
Yeah, we got orange. Sunny Delight.
Yes. Oh, man. Sunny Delight was like, that was like gangbusters, man. That was
Tang,
like.
Tang. Yeah, remember Tang?
Oh, man, dude. You were giving away your age on that stuff, man. Oh, my God. It's like type 2 diabetes in action. Man, that's some good stuff, right? Man, I'm not gonna lie, man. I had the Sunny Delight growing up. I got that. So, did they even sell that stuff anymore?
They shouldn't. It should
Tang.
Be
oh my god, wasn't that like powder stuff?
Yeah, it was that orange powder you put in water.
It's like, that's just... right there with like Choco Mix.
Yeah, exactly.
it's like what was that powdered like plastic? Like, I don't think that was cocoa. I think that was like. Black number 4, some weird chemical shit.
Oh, great.
Man, like, hey, you know what? I survived.
Yeah, yeah.
couldn't be any worse, you know? Now you got people going to prison asking for organic food, so there you go.
Yeah, getting sex change operations.
Yeah, hey, I know one of those. Calm down.
Really? Not in prison?
No, I told you, I don't know if you maybe said, but yeah, I got a friend of mine, but it's more of my friend's friend. Yeah. He's in the process of, I haven't talked to him ever since this all went happened, but he's going through the process.
Oh, you told me this about a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
I was like, who, what, where, huh? I was like, yeah, it's very awkward. You know, it's just awkward, you know, as guys, you know, and, you know, my friend calls me, he's like, hey, you know, our friend, I don't want to give his names out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Were you guys on, like, the football team together or something? Or?
Well, no, we partied, hung out. It's like, I mean, we'd all, like, group of guys. Yeah, he had a girlfriend, and, you okay. know, we all, you know, just hang out, you know, every once in a while. You know, I'd just be like, hey, is so-and-so coming? You know, okay, cool, yeah. And yeah, like, 5-6 years later, you know, here we are. And he's like, he came out to my friend and my friend calls me. He's like, hey, yeah, so-and-so decided to be a girl and he's just going through the process, you know? So I just, you know, just for me, it's kind of hard. Cause I want to, you know, be cool, like to hang out, but like, what do you do? It's like, what kind of bar are we going to, you know?
You know, I think it'd be interesting. I would like, has he had any surgeries yet, or is he?
Well, he's taking the hormones. He's getting he has all the, like, I mean, I don't know
the
inner
workings.
But you
haven't seen him since this started. You've just heard.
No. Well, I've seen pictures, and I'm almost.
But
a
you haven't
more,
seen him.
I haven't seen him since this happened. And as a matter of fact, he wanted to hang out with my friend, and I was going to hang out with him that weekend. But I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for all that right now.
Okay.
Heavy. I don't know.
Yeah, that would. I guess maybe it'd be easy for me because I don't know, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe you should go hang out with her, or him, or I don't even know. I don't even know what to call. I don't even know what to call him. I'm like,
call him a girl from here on out. That must be what.
Is that what it is? Because I mean, he's dressed. He's going to be dressing up like one. Well,
he's going to be putting on dresses, bro. You got to call him a girl.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he's going bald, so he has to wear a wig now. And like, yeah.
Have
so,
you seen the South Park Mr. Garrison?
No.
When he gets the sex change operation?
Well, this is right there with it, I'm
okay.
sure. I mean, this guy has to shave his arm hair. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just, this is all new for me. You know,
that is a commitment.
No, it's a commitment. Like, he's, you know, taking the hormones, the pills, dressing up, like the whole deal, you know.
Wow.
Hey, right. No, it's all good. I support it. I just, you know, it's just kind of weird when you know somebody and you're like, well, how am I supposed to, you know, it's hard to be completely normal. You know what I mean? That's all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and supposedly he still likes women. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm like, hey, so are we all going to a lesbian bar? I'm like, I'm kind of okay with that. I mean, sure. Why not? At least there's chicks there, you know? So I don't know. He's a lesbian stuck in a man's body, I guess. I don't know, man. You know what? We're going to bring him on the show.
We should. Yes.
You know what? Might as well. Maybe that's that'll be a good way to me, like, you know, I don't know. I just, like I said, I have more questions than answers.
Is this guy like in?
No. He's Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Angeles.
All right. So
he's probably listening to the show. Sorry, bro. I mean, dudette. I don't know.
Sorry, girl.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, girl. So anyways, no, all support, all love. I just, you know, I said, you know, I'm just trying to be supportive.
Yeah. It, we're looking at some, lately the stocks this last week or so have kind of been taking a little bit of a dip, and we've been kind of looking for some other, I feel very good about the ones that we're in right now, especially with the dividends that we've got. You know, at this point, I think it's just a hold and let these things go for years, let them ferment and start compounding, and you know, let them go. The ones that we got in, and we talked about it, like Coca-Cola.
You're making it sound like kombucha, Steve.
Kombucha.
It's like, we gotta let them ferment.
Yeah, ferment. Yes.
Yeah, you've been at Trader Joe's too long, bro.
But we're this book that we're going to talk about here, The New Great Depression. Some of the things that I think have been thoughts that have spurred off of that have been like, okay, the next thing is probably going to be self-driving cars, electric cars, you know, Uber type services that do not need a human. And so how can you capitalize that on that as an investor? Maybe Randall spurred the idea, because he was saying that if we are moving to like solar power, start researching and finding out what elements you know, what raw materials you need to make these solar panels. And you'll probably find that there's only a few places in the world that offer these. And if you can get into companies that are mining them, it can be very profitable. And so we're looking at these for EVs, for electric vehicles, and they all have to have batteries. They all got to have, you know, certain
manganese,
computer chips and stuff, you know. But with the batteries, as far as making them, they got to have cobalt. They got to have lithium. They got to have manganese, nickel, and graphite.
Yep.
And, you know, when you start really delving into these, you can
see there's not a whole lot of companies.
No. I mean, like, you know, like there's only, you know, a few places in the world where some of these are available.
Yeah, especially cobalt. Like, that's a very precious, you know, it's a precious mineral. Republic of Congo.
Congo, yeah.
Is, that's like the biggest place. But there's some companies. Glencore has some mining there. Glencore's out of Australia, a pretty big mining company. But yeah, there's just not a whole lot of places. There's a lot of political unrest in a lot of those places at all. So, you know, just as an investor, obviously, if you're looking to dive into that, you know, anything that's, you know, owned through the state or you know, country that owns there's, you got to be a little bit careful with that stuff. So I would say, you know, it's always good. And we're still doing our research as well. So we're going to have a lot more information on that in some coming up episodes. But, you know, staying with some of the, you know, main companies, I guess, you know, like structured, well-maintained companies that, you know, aren't going to give any funny accounting.
I'm kind of excited for that. I'd like to see, there's gotta be some opportunities in there. I think, you know, this is probably somewhere between a year and a half to a 4-year bet or something, you know? If you pick one of the good ones, I think it could be extremely profitable.
Yeah. And they seem, when they shoot, they really shoot up, you know, they're like, you know, 500,000 to that. I mean, there, you can get some huge gains if you pick if you're able to pick a few winners out of those.
Yeah. So the book, The New Great Depression, should we call it the book of the week?
Yeah, book of the week. Yeah, okay. I mean, it was a good book. I mean, if you guys want to get scared about stuff a little bit and, you know, maybe cause you to, you know, rearrange your portfolio, you should definitely read it.
Yeah, it, the author's name is James Rickards. He's been in the business for a long time. He was an advisor to Nixon when they went away from the gold standard. Mm-hmm. So okay. He's been, I mean, probably has forgotten more about stocks than we'll ever know.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to his whole perspective is basically that we have with this pandemic, what's, you know, our country and the world has gone through several pandemics. But we've never gone through a pandemic where we've locked stuff down and just, you know, shut down the economy for months at a time.
Oh, a year almost.
Yeah. And this has happened worldwide.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, just like in my town here and you up in Santa Barbara, Daniel, like when you walk down some of the business districts, there's maybe anywhere from a third to half of the small businesses that have closed and are not reopening.
They're not coming back.
And the stock market has certainly not reflected that since the COVID drop. In fact, it's been the opposite. And his argument is that, reality is there, but perception has not caught up with reality yet.
Right.
And these prices are inflated and they're not reflecting what's actually going on. And, he said that, some of his predictions are that, there's going to be strong deflation or disinflation, which basically means that it may be going up relative to zero, but it's if normal inflation rate is 2%, then he's saying it'll probably be half or 1%, you know, so it won't be going up as much. He said that stocks have not hit their bottom. And at a time now, when we're recording this at the end of February, 2021, the Dow is 31 or 32,000 and his models predict that it'll be down to 16,000 by the end of the year. So that's half of where it is now. And the same with the S&P 500. The S&P just dropped below, it's around 3,800 after Friday. And he's predicting that by the end of the year, it'll be around 1,750.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, that it really made me restructure a few things, you know, put some contingencies kind of in place. I think the book has a really good argument. It does do a little, he does talk about, you know, the last, you know, four, you know, outbreaks, and three was a really interesting point. Three out of the four, all had a second wave. So yeah. Basically we have 75.
The last four pandemics, three of them have had a second and a third wave that have been, more deadly than the first one.
Right. And that's basically we have a 25% chance of things, you know, that not happening, but a 75% chance of, hey, there's a really good chance we could get a second wave if the vaccine doesn't, you know, cure these mutations or anything, and, you know, come around the end towards the end of the year and we get a second wave, and anything happens, we're shutting things down for any reason again, we're really in trouble, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, as the economy goes, so, a little food for thought. And I thought it had some really great, perspective, a good argument. It even talks about, you know, the Virology Institute in Wuhan and the bats and, you know, what are the, you know, so it just gives a documentation of all that as well. So I believe it's pretty objective as well. It goes through a lot, you know, talks about gold, treasury, you know, things that you can do to help offset things and without being one of those crazy gold people, right?
Yeah. It's definitely caused me in the last couple of weeks to reallocate my retirement portfolios to be slightly more conservative and moving a little bit more into cash. Moving some into like treasury notes, but still keeping some in the market, but kind of reallocating them to what he suggests, you know,
just things that will ride out the storm, you know, things that you would be happy riding out a storm with, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's a good way to do, because I definitely sold a good amount of things that I thought couldn't hold up if things take a pretty good dip, you know, or aren't going to recover as well, to just reallocating into things that, you know, will.
Yeah. He also says, you know, stocks have not hit bottom. He says, of the stocks, the equities that you get, you should focus on over the next couple of years, natural resources, mining, commodities, energy, water, agriculture, and defense. And he said these are going to do well in bear markets, where a bear market is where it goes down, and they'll typically outperform in bull markets. Bull markets are where they go up. So, and then he goes on to describe why he thinks those will do better. And he says, generally speaking, in a depressed economy, things like gold and natural resources and water and you know, things that can't really go away, everyone's going to need electricity. You know, those kind of things are going to go up, and people are going to spend less money on things like, you know, extracurricular stuff. You know, going to
vacation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Kind of like where we're going.
Yes. He says that the stocks, you know, the reality hasn't caught up with the perception. And one thing I learned from this book, and well, Randall taught us it too, was that 90% of the trading that's going on in the market is done by robots. And essentially what Randall does is he teaches you how the robots trade and to trade slightly ahead of them, you know. And that's what this guy's saying, is that the robots haven't caught up to what's really going on with the economy. It's simply reading graphs and, you know, using predictive models and going on that, but not looking at financial statements or, I mean, shit. One of the real estate companies that we were in, Daniel, I looked up, and they had an enormous amount of commercial real estate in like these high rise office buildings. And so I called their biggest one and talked to the girl at the front desk. And I was just like, yeah, what's your guys' occupancy right now? And she said, oh, it's about 10%. I'm like, holy shit.
We're just holding the whole thing up with a pitchfork.
Yeah, with a pitchfork. And the termites are holding hands right now. I'm like, wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to sell that in the morning. I don't think that's sustainable.
Yeah, let's see how long we will. Let's see how long we can lie to people for.
Let's see how long this lasts. All right.
Yeah, just tell them this. Yeah. The lie of the day.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So I, So generally got out of things like that. But wow. And that was another good thing he had a point in the book was he said commercial real estate's going to continue to go down probably till the end of the year, maybe late 2021, early 2022, you might have some attractive commercial real estate options. But he mentioned,
and that's just evident, Steve. I mean, you go anywhere in the big cities right now, I've been to a few, and it's like, it is, there's some serious vacancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
You know, I was actually really interesting. I was actually going through Beverly Hills and yeah, a lot of all Beverly Hills, you know, that's, you know, obviously higher in, you know, real estate and just commercial areas, you know, and just, I would say one in every eight places, you know, big, I would just see, you know, just, you know, for lease, you know, just a lot of for lease stuff, you know, just like that's everywhere in the big city though. Not just like Beverly Hills, of course, but it was just, I was like, well, if it's happening here, geez, you know, and it's everywhere, you know, it's everywhere. You know, you got, you know, a lot of things closing down.
Yeah. And
or just restructuring, reshuffling, I guess, you know.
He goes into the percentages too of the type of business and the percentage of the businesses that have been able to keep up with their lease. And it's like hair salons, 19%, you know, restaurants, 22%. So that means everyone else has not kept up with their rent. So someone's taken that in the shorts, right?
Yeah.
That's not sustainable.
I don't think we've seen the worst of it. You know, I, you know, definitely there's corrections coming and, you know, things, you know, we can't just spend our way out of it. Right.
I agree. Yeah. 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 That's another one of his points too, was he said that the COVID recovery is going to be much slower and weaker than people think. and that unemployment will remain near 10% for the next several years.
Wow.
So if he's right, this is going to be a long road, a very long, especially if there's another second and third wave. You know,
but again, nobody's trying to scare anybody here.
No, I'm just saying that, you know,
no gloom and doom.
If you're one of the guys that have your retirement account and you're just like, yeah, I just clicked the 100% aggressive one, you might want to start balancing it a little bit more. That's all.
I want to take that out of GameStop.
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying.
Do what you want, but yeah, it might be time to take your foot off the gas here for just a little bit.
Just a little while, just like a little, yeah.
Just listen to the book and tell us what you think. But it was definitely a stop and ponder for me. You know? Yeah.
Well, he throws out a lot of statistics. Definitely did a lot of research for this. I was pretty impressed, you know, with the arguments that he had for it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was a little bit scared after reading it. I kind of wanted to go out and buy a little gold myself, which I'm about to do. But these are just small things. I mean, this isn't, you know, again, not being the crazy gold guy, you know, like the government's after you and you got to go like stock up in gold and join a militia or anything, you know?
Well, yeah. Okay. So that was something too. He said that his prediction is that gold will go significantly higher in between now And this book just came out the middle of January, so it's like a month old. He said that gold will go significantly higher, and his reasoning behind that was that you know, with all these government bailouts and everything, that typically spurs panic buying, and you know, people the more that people lose faith in the American or in the economy, the more apt they are to buy gold or silver. And he said that could drive it up. Another thing that could drive it up, they have gold ETFs. I believe there's 15 of them that actually hold physical amounts of gold, and they trade on the market as an ETF, you know, holding physical gold. If any one of those doesn't actually have as much gold as they're saying that they do, and that goes out, then having physical gold is going to skyrocket because people lose faith in those ETFs.
Right.
He predicts that gold, I just checked this morning, and gold was at $1,735 an ounce.
Well, I think he was saying also that he predicted it'd be going down before it went up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically trying to, I guess, time somewhat the bottom right around now. It's around 1735. You do have to pay a little VIG when you go down to one of these coin stores and get gold.
And it's better, Steve, maybe a good point to mention is if you are, you know, buying gold or, you know, I have silver. But because I actually asked you, I was like, hey, well, maybe I should buy some silver too, Steve. And you're like, nah, you don't want to do that right now. And because you were just there. And you were saying that the rake on silver is much higher than gold right now. If you just go into like a, you know, coin place or whatever and try to purchase some physical silver.
Yeah, it's the rake on gold was about 4%, and the rake on silver was, I don't know, it was really fucking high. It was $27 an ounce, and it cost you $5 to $8 an ounce extra to pay the house, to pay the coin guy. So a lot cheaper to do gold, but it's much more expensive to get an ounce. You know, right now it's $1,735. You'll probably end up paying $1,800 out the door for that ounce. But what if Mr. Rickards is correct, and he lays out a lot of things that would definitely, you know, I think it's a nice hedge to have some gold.
Just part of the portfolio, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's same principle as like just having a Bitcoin.
You
know what I mean? Like it's not necessarily how much you pay to get it, but if you can get it during this time period, 3 to 5 years from now, it's likely to be worth a lot more.
Yeah.
And that's his bet. As he said, basically, you know, 5 years from now, he said it should be around 10,000, could be as high as 14,000 an ounce. If
you probably have it so long you forget about it anyways.
Probably, you know, so this is a set it and forget it. This is a buy and hold.
Yeah.
It's not like we're going to sell this 3 months from now. No.
No.
You're hanging on to this for years. It's not like Coca-Cola where it pays you a dividend to hold it. You're just, it's like a Google, like a growth stock. You're just like, yeah, well, this is what
no
I got.
No yield. There's no yield on gold.
No, no.
Oh. But you know, when it goes up, I mean, it's, hey, it goes up. You know, they tend to jump pretty, you know, when they do. I mean, you could be holding on to these things for 5 years and all of a sudden, boom, you know, so.
See, that's the thing is I remember as a kid when the housing market took a dump in the early 90s. I remember my parents lost on a rental property. I remember the gold price skyrocketed. And then it happened again in 2007, 2008, when the economy was in the dumps. Gold was basically an inverse graph of that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like an inverse. But, you know, I think a lot of people just shy away from it.
And I'm seeing the same thing now with one of the guys at work is a real estate agent. He listed a house for $675, and it sold for $725 on like the first day. So people are just paying more than, you know, what they're listed for, at least in this area.
Oh, Vegas too.
Vegas too. Yeah. We looked into that and it, yeah, a lot of people moving from San Diego out to Vegas.
You can't even go to the DMV because there's too many Californians out in Vegas now.
Yeah. So, gold. Yeah. It, I think that could be an interesting play.
Long-term just make it part play of your portfolio. Just not 50%. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He recommends the allocations that he recommends are 30% cash, 10% gold, 20% residential real estate, 20% treasury notes, 10% equities, and 10% alternatives. So like with the gold, 10% of investable assets is what these percentages is he's recommending. You know, you could, if you want to do it the easy way, just buy the gold ETF. The ticker is GLD. It's relatively low right now compared to what it's been over the last few months. So I don't know. I think it's worth a bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, and worst case scenario, like the last time, you know, you could just be stuck in this stuff for 10 or 15 years, you know, until it gets back up to this point again. But you know, over the course of 20 to 30 years, it's extremely unlikely that this will be a bad bet. The hope is that it's a great bet 4 to 5 years from now. You know, and he's saying historically, you know, it could be up as much as 700%. So,
yeah, I think he predicted somewhere like, God, I think he predicted somewhere upwards of like, I don't know, 7,000 to 10,000 or something over the next 10 years or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said 10,000 to 14,000 by 2026.
Yeah.
So 5 years from now, 11. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
He said interest rates will fall further. Kind of tough to go below a quarter of 1%, but he thinks that they will go lower. Bonds, he thinks will rally. What else? Residential real estate, he said, could be an attractive opportunity in certain areas. So probably not a great area where you and I are located.
Yeah, I've been waiting for it to, you know, hit the fan for quite some time, but I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. he says, you know, like new houses in attractive towns with low taxes and good schools. He mentioned a couple of states, Arizona, Texas, and Florida, the Pacific Northwest, the Rocky Mountains. And he also said residential real estate in a zero personal income tax state, Washington, Wyoming, Tennessee, and New Hampshire could be good opportunities. So basically his logic behind that was that, you know, a lot of people have realized that they don't have to work in the giant office building. You know, and employers have realized this too, is they're like, Jesus, we don't even have to pay for all this office space because these people can do this at home in their laptops. And we're saving a boatload of money having them do that, you know, because we don't need these skyscrapers anymore, like the stock that we sold, right?
Yeah. San Francisco is a good, good.
Yeah. Right. So people are generally migrating out of New York City and kind of getting into the suburbs and generally migrating out of LA and San Diego and these big high density population areas and scooting out, you know, kind of spreading themselves out a little more. You know, as the social bubble has gotten bigger the social distancing bubble has increased. People are naturally moving their homes and their families into places that reflect that. It seemed like a good argument to me.
Yeah, no, it is. It has some great, it's a really good argument. A lot of good statistics in there. I think a lot of people just get a lot of, it's about a 6-hour audible.
Yeah, 4 or 6, something like that.
Just a lot of good information in there, I think, for just for people to know and some contingency planning.
Yeah. He said the dollar is going to be strong in the short term and then weaker by 2022. And he said oil will surprise to the upside. And his logic behind that was that
it did crash.
oil did?
Well, yeah, in the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, but since then, it's just skyrocketed. Remember, this book only came out a month ago.
Right.
So it's fairly, it's pretty damn recent.
Yeah.
We've made a lot of money on oil since the crash.
Oh, yeah. It's still, there's still a lot of room there.
Yeah. Well, hey, y'all. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it a lot.
So check it out.
Yeah. His playbook that he recommends, he says, update continually with the rolling 6-month horizon. So like a caveat he threw in there with the cash, he's like, that's 30% cash allocation may only last a couple of months, or it could last a year and a half. He said the neat thing about cash and having 30% of your investable assets in that is it's the ultimate call option on anything in the world. So you can literally buy anything with cash. You know, it costs you something to get gold and then go and transact and put it in. You're paying a little vig each time with cash that doesn't exist. You can put a call on anything in the world. So he said, don't look at the 30% cash as like, you know, start with it now. But if you see opportunities that come up in any one of those sectors that he mentioned, don't be afraid to fire if you think the time is right. He said, diversify across all asset classes, not within one asset class, you know, so don't just have everything in energy, you know. Yeah. get insider information as long as you do it legally.
Double bunny air quotes.
Yes. Martha Stewart hashtag.
Yeah, exactly. Martha Stewart. Ones when they came out of Congress and they happened to like, what was that Congress? It was a Congresswoman. Yeah, the Congresswoman. Was it Loeffler, I think? And she bought, like, they had that meeting at Congress and then all of a sudden she sold all her stuff like right before the pandemic. I'm like, oh geez, you got insider information on that.
How did you know?
Yeah.
Use market timing to beat the crowd. Front run the robots. They're not that smart. Own the perception gap. Reality always wins in the end. And then he says, at last and not least, be nimble. You know, so be nimble and able to strike when the iron's hot. I thought it was a good book. I liked it a lot. We got one guy that signed up for Randall's program so far, Alex. He's going to learn to front run the robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get a call from him pretty soon.
Yes. Right on. Cool. Well, do you have anything else, Daniel?
No, I think we've kind of covered a lot. I think the next upcoming shows are going to be pretty cool. Got a lot of stuff, you know, in the works. We're working on, you know, getting some cool guests and interesting topics with financial focus, but like to throw you guys some curveballs here and there. I think it'd be pretty cool. I'm going to be sounding off from Bucaramanga hopefully next week, and we'll see how that goes. And hopefully I come back alive. And who knows, I could come back with like new boobs and a butt.
I was going to say, you're going to get the ass implants, right?
Yeah, of course. I'm going to be like the new and improved Caitlyn Jenner, man.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
See, look at me.
See, after this, we won't be self-conscious about going out with your friend.
You know what? Then I'll be able to hang out with him.
You guys could compare boob jobs and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's had one yet, but you never know. It could be.
Okay. No judgment.
Yeah. this is a judge-free zone.
Yes.
We'll see what happens with that. You might not want to hang out with me when I get back, Steve.
Oh, I might.
Yeah. You're like, well, I mean, your tits look great.
He does have really nice tits.
Yeah, like, he's a nice guy. He's really great tits.
Yeah.
No, I'm not getting any tits. But the ass thing, I don't know. You know, who knows? You know.
Oh, good deal. Right on. Cool. Well, thank you, Daniel. This was fun.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend, and thank you for tuning in. Here is your weekly motivational speech.
Or we must begin to look at what are the things that we can do that would put us on some firm footing in life, that will enable us to do some things and use some powers that we have, that many of us go through life never ever discovering that we have those things going for us. And part of that, I believe, is knowing what it is your life worth. What is it that gives your life a sense of meaning and purpose? Because once you find that, it puts you in your power place.
We all have times of frustration. We all have times of anger. We all have times of why me? Why is this so hard for me? But at the end of the day, guys, when you start feeling that massive frustration, that massive anger, that massive irritation and massive stress, you are about to have a breakthrough. You are about to move through an area that most people can't make it through. And you just gotta keep moving.
The only way to deal with fear that I found in my life is a couple ways. One of those ways is to turn it on itself and ask yourself, what am I afraid of? If I'm afraid of that, I gotta be more afraid of what I'm gonna miss out on. Missing out on the mission, missing out on who I'm supposed to be, and missing. In other words, if you're not getting rid of fear, then use fear. Use fear or it uses you. It's that simple.
The war has begun, and it's between you and you. There ain't nobody else in your way.
Because you are different. You will never give up on your dream. You will not listen to the average. You will always, I mean always, listen to the winner in you. Believe in yourself when no one else does. Believe in yourself when you have no reason to believe. And you will never quit.
I invested too much to quit. I made too many sacrifices to give up.
We've come too far. We've been through too much. We've seen too much. We've had too many victories. We have seen defeat. We've looked defeat in the face, and we've overcome it. We've come too far to give up. We've come too far to be negative now. We've come too far to start overthinking.
All I need you to do is speak up and say, I expect to win. Declare that it's over, that yesterday was the last day that you were a loser. Like, yesterday was the last day you expected to come up short.